This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praise for Allah, we praise Him, we thank Him, we ask Him for His help, and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his final messenger and ma'ba'ad. First of all, my dearest sisters and brothers, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's an absolute pleasure to be amongst all of you. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless this gathering. And I ask Allah Ta'ala that not one person leaves this gathering except their iman was increased and their sins were forgiven, inshallah. So my dearest sisters and brothers, it's no secret that, you know, so many amongst us are struggling to keep our iman strong, especially in these times. You know, many of us are facing a lot of pressures, both inside and outside of our houses. You know, whether we're speaking about dealing with Islamophobia outside the house, mental health issues, you know, marital problems, family problems, the list goes on. And more than ever, we find many people are struggling to hold it together as a result. And that's why more than ever, we're in need to find the right company to help us to do that, inshallah. And we look at what the Prophet ﷺ advised us in regards to the power of coming together and supporting each other. If you think about that powerful hadith in which he says, "Al-mu'minu li-mu'mini kal-bunyan." يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. That the mu'min to another, you know, the believer to another believer is like a solid structure. You know, each part is coming together to hold each other up, lift each other up, and you know, and make together, we unite together, this is our strength. This is how we strengthen one another. Because we know that originally Allah Ta'ala created us in weakness. As Allah Ta'ala tells us, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. That mankind, all of us, subhanAllah, ultimately, by ourselves, we're very weak. If it's not with, you know, if we don't have the help of Allah Ta'ala, then by ourselves, we're very weak. And who else do we have after Allah except our sisters and brothers in Islam to support us, subhanAllah? So, this is how Allah, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shown us how important it is for us to, you know, come together, be together. Like, events like this are so vital for us, especially in these times, you know, because each of us is strengthening one another, and we're very much in need of having our sisters and brothers around us to lift us up and remind us and help us to hold it all together. Okay, so this is why, especially if you're trying to, you know, move away from a past, like if you're trying to move away from your past or you're trying to get stronger, then it's even more important that you be proactive in seeking out the right type of company to be around. That's going to help you to do that. And obviously, what is the company I'm speaking about? You know, obviously the type of company we're talking about is the type of company that is going to help you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the ones that they're going to be there to hold out their hands if they see you starting to falter, slowly slipping backwards, you know. They'll be there to hold up their hand to try to pull you back up and get you back on track. And this is exactly why the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us, you know, al-mar'u 'ala dini khalili, you know, like, a person will be upon the religion of their friend. فَلْيَنْظُرُ أَحَدُكُمْ مَن يُخَالِلُ. Each of you needs to look at who you take as your close company or your close friend. And this is exactly why we should never underestimate who you choose to be around, because everybody that is in your life has an influence on you. Everybody in your life has an influence upon you, and you know, yani, and this all has an influence on how little or how much you're able to be strong in staying away from, you know, for example, especially when it comes to sins of the past, if you're trying to move away from that, then everyone you have in your life is having an influence upon you in how strong you're able to, you know, maintain that, you know, steadfastness after moving away from that path, right? So, and this is exactly what, if you look at what the self-help industry speaks about, like, they basically say that you are basically the average of the, you know, the main five people you spend your time with. You are basically the average of those five people, or, you know, those five people in your life. And this is exactly why, if you look what the righteous predecessors mention, you'll find quotes, for example, where, for example, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he says that there's nothing that corrupts or rectifies the person more than their companion. Okay? So who you look to be your influencers in life, who are your role models, the influencers around you, who you spend your time with. And, you know, as you know, who we spend time with now is not just about who we spend time with offline. You know, now it's online. We've got to be worrying about who are we looking to influence us online. Who are we hanging out with the most online? These have a significant impact on, you know, our ability to also either move forward, inshallah, in our deen, or, you know, unfortunately, to have a detrimental effect on us. And this is why Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he actually mentions about friends, and he says that friends are three different types. Okay, when it comes to the company you keep or the friends you choose, there's three different categories we can, you know, sort them into. So, for example, he says that the first ones are those who are like food. So these ones are the ones you cannot do without these ones. They're the ones that, you know, when you sit with them, they remind you of the Akhirah. You know, they increase your iman, they encourage you, they, you know, you learn beneficial knowledge from them. So these type of friends, these type of company, because it doesn't have to be necessarily a friend. It could be the company as in, you know, halaqat that you attend, like, you know, lessons that you go to, that's also a company too, right? These are the type of company that you should try to be in that company as much as possible. If you can't get to a physical class, you try to at least listen to lessons online. That's the company. You're trying to, you know, keep that positive company in your life. Then we come to the second category of friends, which is those that are like medication. They're the ones that you need from time to time. So the way we could describe this category, this is the type that, you know, you feel comfortable in their presence. You don't feel judged by them. You know, you can have a laugh. You can be yourself. You know, this is the type of friends that, you know, you want to hang around with them sometimes, but you don't want to overdo it. Like, we all know that it's great to have some time out with our friends, but if you do that every day, it ends up, as you know, you end up falling into, not very beneficial type of talk, and you know how it goes. And then we come to the third type, which is like the harmful type of company. And this is the type of company that they drag you backwards, okay? So what happens is when you leave their company, you feel like your iman became weaker. Like, they're encouraging you to go back to your old life. Like, you've left that life behind you, you're trying to improve. Like, I know as a revert, like, I had to leave my class too. You know, I had a lot of friends, you know, before I was Muslim, and I know that if I had kept on hanging around with that type, they would never have encouraged me to be, you know, to be strong in Islam. Everyone was trying to pull me backwards, right? It's the same thing if you've left a past life. It's the same thing. You know, you've had a bit of a past. You need to keep moving away from that. You need people in your life who are going to really have a positive impact on you, challenge you to do better. Like, that's what you're looking for, right? So we have to realize that, like I said before, you know, bad company is not just having bad friends. It's also the bad environments that, you know, it even comes down to, like I said, who you follow on social media. They can have a significant, you know, negative impact on your iman and spiritual well-being just as much. Because a lot of us hang around online more than we hang around with people, you know, offline now. You know, sometimes we don't even see people for weeks, but we see people online far more, right? So you've got to really question who you are following and who are you allowing to influence your life, because, you know, basically I would say don't expect to have strong iman if, you know, the number one people that you're following on, say, Instagram or Snapchat are like the singers and Hollywood stars. Like, you're not going to get very far in life if your top person you follow is like Kardashians or, you know, someone like that, right? So it's not enough to be just trying to choose the right company offline. If the company that you're choosing online is the complete opposite of that. So that's why we need to be proactive in seeking out the right company by looking for it in the right places. I mean, I know myself, like, actually I feel that, like, the internet can be such a blessing if you use it in the right way. Like, personally myself, I feel like, alhamdulillah, I've been very inspired by following certain individuals. You know, for example, on Facebook or Instagram, I'm very choosy who I, you know, pick to follow. But subhanAllah, the people who are really trying to make a change in the world in a beneficial way, you know, they're really making the most of their time, making the most of their life. People who inspire you and challenge you to do better, they are the type of people that you want to be following, all right? And inshallah, through that, you can reach high levels of self-improvement and self-development. All right, the other thing I want to talk about tonight is the importance of also, you know, helping people feel they belong and are part of the community. And that's why, if you look at what one of the very first things that the Prophet ﷺ did when he went to Medina, you see that the first thing he did was to establish al-ukhuwa fillah. Like, he established the brotherhood, you know, in for the sake of Allah, between al-Ansar and al-Muhajirin. That's the first thing he did. So we see the importance of having that bond and trying to create environments which we bring the believers together and create that bond between us. Because when a person, as those of you who've moved away from your past or reverted, you know very well that when you've left everything behind and, you know, you don't have that family to support you, then who do you have after Allah if it's not for your brothers and sisters to support you, right? But the thing is that if you look at the way that the sisterhood and brotherhood was practiced in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was actually quite different to what we are unfortunately getting into today, right? Because if you look at at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew that the true reason that you love another, you know, sister or brother in Islam is simply due to that person's sincere love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if they weren't a so-called perfect Muslim, okay? But the fact that that person is trying, they love Allah, they love His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can see that sincerity in them. They're not the so-called picture of the perfect Muslim, but you can see in their heart they're trying, okay? So these are the ones that deserve our love. But now what we find, sadly, is, you know, with the way that a lot of Muslims practice today, right? It's more, as we all know, it's more about, like, what masjid you go to, what group you belong to, you know, what country you're from. You find, like, if you're not from a certain ethnic group, you'll find often you're on the outside. You often find yourself on the outside, right? You know, what country you're from. All of those things are playing, unfortunately, a big role in the way that people are practicing their sisterhood and brotherhood. And what we find with a lot of people is they only practice that ukhuwa fillah, they only practice their brotherhood and sisterhood within those small circles or networks. And they forget to extend that sisterhood and brotherhood to all of their sisters and brothers in Islam. Because the ukhuwa fillah is not just limited to a small group, right? It's for all brothers and sisters. As long as they have that love for Allah and His Rasul, then they deserve a share of this brotherhood and sisterhood, right? So this is a sad reality that you find today that, you know, if you ask a lot of people, let me tell you, if you go ask around the community and you ask a lot of people, they'll tell you that they feel like they don't really belong or they don't feel like they fit in, okay? And many people tell you that, you'll find some people who tell you that they haven't experienced the feeling of that true brotherhood or sisterhood in Islam. And instead, you'll find that they've actually had bad experiences with certain people that's pushed them away from wanting to be with the community. So you need to realize that, you know, being treated badly by another brother or sister in Islam, as any of you know here who've been hurt by another brother or sister in Islam, like, I'm sure most of us have at some time in our lives had an experience where some Muslim brother or sister has really hurt us, and it hurts so much more than had a non-Muslim hurt you. Because why? Because you have such higher expectations of your brothers and sisters in Islam, and when they let you down, they let you down big time. I mean, you know, you read the ayah in the Quran, like where Allah Ta'ala says, "Azillatin ala al-mu'minina, azillatin ala al-kafirin." Right? So Allah Ta'ala tells us that, you know, when you deal with your brothers and sisters, you know, be gentle and be soft with them. Okay? Be gentle and be soft. Be empathetic towards your brothers and sisters. When you deal with non-Muslims who try to degrade you and to degrade your religion, you deal with them with izzah. You deal with them in a way that you preserve your honor and dignity as a Muslim. You don't allow yourself to be downtrodden and allow your deen to be downtrodden, right? But what we find happens today on the ground, especially these days, is, you know, we tend to, you know, show our best sides to those on the outside, but yet we're so ultra harsh and judgmental of one another. I mean, of course, we want to do beautiful da'wah to the non-Muslims, we want to show them the beauty of Islam, but isn't it sad that we often show that beautiful face, and we can have all that patience with those we're doing da'wah to, but when it comes to our Muslim brothers and sisters who deserve to be treated in a much more empathetic and merciful way, for some reason we become ultra harsh and ultra judgmental, right? And, you know, worse still is we forget that not everybody has a happy marriage. You know, not everybody has a loving, stable family that they can turn to for support. So it's a truly sad day, sisters and brothers, when a person feels more respected and more cared for by non-Muslims than they do from their own sisters and brothers in Islam. Okay, this is where we need to really, you know, improve our situation big time. Because, like I was saying this morning to some sisters, you know, if you really look at it from the big picture, what is the Muslim community in relation to the rest of Australia? It's like you're in the middle of a desert, and you're in this little oasis in the middle of this desert, right? And we're just like seeing this little oasis with a desert all around us. You know, and basically, if we're not looking after the people in this oasis, you're going to push them out into that harsh desert. And how are they going to survive outside, right? Look, at the end of the day, we can all sit here and we can complain about the state of the Ummah. I'm not into playing the victim, right? I believe that we have to start with ourselves. You know, like we can point the finger at everybody else, or they should do better here, and look what they do. We can do that, but in reality, where does sisterhood and brotherhood start with? It starts with each and every one of us. If each and every one of us is taking the responsibility to try to, you know, really improve our sisterhood and brotherhood, then subhanAllah, imagine, you know, the turnaround we can see in the Ummah, inshallah. So we need to realise that we will never reach a complete level of iman until we practice our sisterhood and brotherhood in the same way that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Like, look at what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says: "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." Like, none of you will truly believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Like, in meaning, you will not reach a level of step of complete iman. You're not going to reach the high levels of iman until you really genuinely start to care and love for your brothers and sisters the way you know, the things that you would love for yourself, you love that also, and you love that kind of treatment, like, just like you like to be treated in a soft way and to be respected, that you deal with your sisters and brothers in the same way, right? And we need to start with what Allah Ta'ala tells us in Surah Muhammad, when He mentions about the treatment of the believers with one another. He describes it, and He says, وَحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Right, that they have that empathy and mercy with one another. So brothers and sisters, we need to, you know, practice being more compassionate with one another. We need to also, you know, let others feel like they belong. Even if they don't show up as a so-called perfect Muslim, we have to try and see outside the box and realize there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. People today, as I said before, they're dealing with a lot of other issues going on in their lives. You just don't know what's You know, you just don't know what's going on in someone's household. And we need to drop the harshness and the judgmentalism and simply be a lot kinder and more caring towards each other. Because, like I was saying, there are so many of our brothers and sisters who are walking amongst us with smiles on their faces, but let me tell you, in their hearts, they are suffering from so many different problems and trials. So sisters and brothers, let's try to do better at reaching out to others and, you know, showing our love and concern for them. Even if they're not from our regular friendship circle, we need to do better at, you know, making people feel like they belong and showing them the beauty of, like, the care of Islam and the empathy that we're supposed to have for each other. You know, let's also try to practice more of the sunnah of smiling in each other's faces. I mean, often you'll find people only smile at those people that they know really well. And then if you don't really know someone, you don't smile. But subhanAllah, it's amazing how we all know that, how the Messenger of Allah mentioned that smiling in the face of your brother or sister, of course, not someone who's opposite gender, right? Who's not a mahram. But I mean, you know what I'm trying to say. So it's something that, you know, subhanAllah, you can make someone's day just by smiling at them. You can make someone's day just by smiling at them. Of course, I know that it would make a lot of brothers' day if the sisters start smiling, but I'm not encouraging that. But you know what I'm trying to say. you know, and saying salam to who you know and who you don't know. Like, look, this is the thing that we're really lacking with this. Like, we say salam to people who go to our masjid, you know, the ones who are in our group, but if it's another sister from another group, oh, I'm not saying salam to her, you know, like, we all know how it goes, right? And look, simple things like just asking people, are you okay? You haven't seen a sister come to your lesson for a while. You haven't seen a sister, you know, who used to come to events. Why not just text her, you know, or a brother, you know, hasn't come to the masjid to pray. Like, everybody knows how beautiful it is, the feeling of, you know, when you haven't, you've been sick or something like that and you haven't been to masjid, and then someone contacts and just, yeah, are you okay? I just want to make sure you're all right. You know, that's when a, you know, just having that small action can make a huge thing in someone's heart. Now, what I want to say to any sister or brother here today who may be struggling to hold things together is, even if you've gone through bad experiences previously with the community, my best advice I can say to you is, don't judge the actions of some as being the whole community. Right? That's one of the biggest mistakes we can make. Just because you may have had a very bad experience, I know how painful it can be. I've myself experienced at times very painful experiences, right? But I know that they're not the whole community. They don't represent the whole community, right? But the advice of the Messenger of Allah, hold fast to it. He says, stick to Jama'ah. Stick to the main body of the Muslims. You know, no matter what you've gone through, never let that be an excuse to completely remove yourself from the Muslim community. The Prophet ﷺ, he tells us, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ. Upon you is the Jama'ah. Upon you is sticking with the Jama'ah. فَإِنَّنَا يَأْكُلُ الدِّكْبُ مِنَ الْغَنَمِ الْقَاسِيَةِ. Like, the, verily, the, you know, the wolf, he eats the stray sheep. So in other words, when we stick together, like I said, we gain our strength by sticking together. And alone, we are weak. I don't care how much knowledge you have. I don't care how much iman you think you have, but trust me, if you go away from the community, you will slowly drift away. You will slowly drift away. And I'm sure that many of you here have seen that in your lives. You've seen people who you thought were so strong, and subhanAllah, things change, and you saw them drift away. And I've seen it in my journey. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed me in being a Muslim now for 30 years. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to let me die upon Islam, and not to, you know, and to only meet with Him, inshallah, on the state of Islam. And for all of us in this room, I ask Allah Ta'ala to let us all die in the state of Islam, you know, and to be steadfast until we meet with Him, inshallah. But what I'm trying to say, sisters and brothers, is that, you know, being on your own, don't think you're so strong. Never ever underestimate how weak we truly are, right? And always realize, like I said before, that realize that those people you have a problem with, they are not the whole community. Not everyone is going to share the same opinion of you as them. Yes, people can be horrible. I know, they can be absolutely nasty, but not everybody's going to agree with them. Not everybody's going to have the same opinion. So my advice is, in that case, look for better company to be in. Try out a different masjid. Try out a different community group until you find the right one for you, inshallah. The other thing I just want to say is that, you know, if you need help, You don't have to struggle alone. You do not have to struggle alone. There are a lot of people in the community who do care and will go out of their way to help you, inshallah. But sometimes you just have to keep trying until you find who those right people are. And alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, I do want to give us a bit of credit. You know, we definitely have come a long way than how we were, say, 20 years ago. There's a lot more support now within our community, alhamdulillah. But of course, I'm not saying you don't have a long way to still go, right? Okay, I just want to finish up my talk tonight by reminding all of us about the benefits of choosing good company and why it's worth sticking it out, you know, in staying with the community, even if you know, it could be painful at times, how it's so much worth it, especially not just for the benefits in this dunya, but even when we're talking about for the akhirah, there are three different ways I want to mention of how keeping good companionship will benefit you in not just this life, but in the next. So the first one of these is the day of your funeral. May Allah bless all of our lives and make them very long, filled with righteous deeds. Allahumma ameen. Okay? But on the day of your funeral, my dear sisters and brothers, that will be the day that you'll find everybody that you used to pray next to, everybody you went to Hajj with, everybody you used to fast with, you know, people who you knew from the lessons you used to attend, they're the ones who's going to come and pray over you when you pass away. And, you know, I have to say, I live actually near, like, the Kimber Mosque in Sydney. And it is sad sometimes when I go past some particular funerals and all I see outside the masjid are, like, all these hotted up cars, a whole bunch of, like, non-Muslims and probably Muslims who, they don't have really any resemblance of being Muslim, that they probably don't know how to pray, and they're the ones turning up for the funeral prayer. Do you understand? But we know that the Messenger of Allah told us that if just 40 righteous people were to pray over a deceased, this is a shifa'ah, this is a type of intercession, inshallah, to Allah, you know, for that person, that inshallah that they'll be forgiven if they had those people. So having those good people to come and pray over you, you know, that's one of the big bonuses of being with the community, because they'll remember you. Like, when you're amongst the community, when you pass away, they'll be there, like I said, to fulfill their rights over you as their Muslim brother or sister. Okay, that's one thing. Then the second way they benefit as well, on the day of resurrection, Allah Ta'ala tells us, Al-akhillau yawma idin ba'duhum li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqin. That those who are close in this world, on the day of resurrection, they'll become like enemies. So people who used to just have a relationship because they were, you know, business partners, or even, you know, normal marriage bonds, anything, you know, like family bonds, everybody's going to become like an enemy to each other. They don't want to know the other one. They just care about themselves. The only one who's going to benefit another person are those who were from the muttaqeen, those who used to believe and, you know, they believed in Allah and His Messenger. Because, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that after the believers passed over the Sirat, now you know that there's a bridge that stretched up over the hellfire, right? And everyone has to pass over that. Like, all the believers need to pass over this bridge. So it's a very, very thin bridge, extremely thin, thinner than a hair, in fact. And it's extremely dark. Like, you can't see anything because it's completely black except for the light of your iman that's guiding you, okay? So you're trying to pass over this bridge, and then there's like these hooks on the bridge, there's like I mentioned, like thorns, that as you're passing, it's going to try to, you know, drag you into Jahannam. And the only way that's going to help you to pass over is basically your iman and righteous deeds you did in this life. It's your, whoever was steadfast in this life, Allah will make them steadfast in passing over that thin bridge on Yawm al-Qiyamah, right? Okay, so what's going to happen is that there will be, sadly, there will be believers who will be, due to their sins, due to their faltering, like, they are going to fall into the Jahannam, wa'udhu billah. May Allah protect us all and make us not from amongst them, right? But they are going to fall in there, okay? So what's going to happen is, once the believers reach the other side, they're going to say to Allah, Ya Allah, there are some of our brothers and sisters, we used to pray with them, fall into the Jahannam. So then Allah Ta'ala is going to tell them, bring out those whom you recognize. How are they going to recognize them, my sisters and brothers? By the light on, you know, from on the prostration, right? The place of prostration, the small part that they're going to be able to recognize them in the fire, subhanAllah. So what I'm trying to say is that after the Messenger of Allah intercedes and the prophets intercede, the angels intercede, then even the believers will be given a chance to intercede for their brothers and sisters. So again, imagine, because you knew that particular sister, or you knew that particular brother, that, you know, or that those people knew you, that's a chance for you also, you know, and that's how they're going to benefit you, inshallah. All right, and then lastly, the last time it's going to be a huge benefit, inshallah, is that a man, it's mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "What do you say about a man who loves a people, but he can't catch up to them?" Right? He can't catch up to them in deeds. Because sometimes you look at other people, you think, subhanAllah, well, I mean, we have Brother Ahmed here talking about sadaqah, and you think, well, you know, I can't do that. And you see other people doing other things, you think, subhanAllah, I can't do that, you know. So sometimes you love the believers, you love the Rasul, you love the companions, you love the believers, but subhanAllah, you know that you're not, like, you try hard, but subhanAllah, you're just not able to, do what they can do, right? So the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab." A person will be with who they love. That's a rahmah from Allah. That even if you couldn't, even if you're not what you could say is a perfect, so-called perfect believer, right? Because everybody's got their faults, right? But the fact that you have that sincere love for the good people will help you to be with them in the next life, inshallah. You know, as long as you know you tried the best that you could, right? And Allah knows, we can't fool Allah. Like, you can't just say, well, I'm trying my best. You're not really trying your best, right? Everybody knows, Allah knows best if, who's trying and who's not, okay? But the fact is, if you really have that sincere belief, even if you're as a person who's just like trying to stumble your way to Jannah, the fact that you love the Rasul, the fact that you love the companions, you love the believers, from the rahmah of Allah, that's the rahmah of Allah for the believers, He will help you, inshallah, to be with those believers, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in the next life. So I ask Allah Ta'ala, as I said before, to forgive every one of us for coming here today, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to unite us all in Jannah al-Firdaws by His rahmah, and that may we be from those who enter into al-Jannah with al-Anbiya, with the prophets, and with the Siddiqeen, the true and sincere believers, with the Salihin, right, with the Shuhada, with the martyrs, and may He forgive all of us, inshallah, and may He help us all to be steadfast in this life and to die upon al-Islam, and to die upon the words of La ilaha illallah. And I want to finish by, the dua in the Quran, رَبَّنَا اغْفِلَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Oh Allah, forgive us and our brothers and sisters who came before us in Iman, and do not allow our hearts to be filled with bad feelings towards those who believe. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ رَحِيمٌ. Ya Allah, You are the most merciful and the most forgiving. So I'll leave it with that, inshallah. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.